Inter have control of their Milan Derby Champions League semi-final. Two goals in the opening 11 minutes mean they have an aggregate lead for next week's second leg against AC Milan. We discuss a sensational atmosphere, a fast start, and well-taken goals at San Siro. Plus, we look ahead to the respective second legs, including Manchester City against Real Madrid in the Champions League. Welcome along, I'm Rob Daly. Delighted to say European football expert Daniela Fischer-Keller is alongside me to break down Wednesday night's action. Daniela, what did you make of it all?
A great start from Inter. The start that perhaps nobody expected. Surely Milan were caught cold, surprised. The first goal is a piece of beauty by Dzeko with a volley from a corner. And the second one is a quick transition, a turn of possession from Inter, almost a goal that Milan used to score, at least as much as we saw against Napoli and other teams. And then Inter looked in control, dominated for 20 minutes, could have scored the third one, and Milan looked like they didn't have a plan B. The distances between midfielder and defense were too wide. Inter could find many spaces and could have closed the game. Then eventually, after 30 minutes, the game became more balanced. In the second half, Pioli was courageous because he brought on Origi, which created chances. Milan hit the post. Inter also had a chance as well. The general feeling is that both teams came into this game very in form. Inter took the chances better and imposed themselves in a better way. Milan are going to look at the second leg hoping that Rafael Leao is going to be there, of course, and hoping to turn it around, but it's going to be difficult.
It finished on Wednesday night. Milan 0, Inter 2. Let's get straight into it. It was, of course, a Milan derby in the UEFA Champions League semi-final for the first time in 20 years. Here's how the first leg unfolded at Stadio San Siro. It doesn't get much better than that. It is AC Milan against Inter in a UEFA Champions League semi-final. We are ready for one of the most hyped games of the season.
Acerbi, Dzeko and Dumfries. Got two in the six-yard box. It's Dzeko! Volleyed home! Tremendous finish from Edin Dzeko. And from that very first corner of the game, it's Inter who take the lead.
He places it gently, delicately, into the top corner. It is unreachable.
Di Marco down the left-hand side, a chance to pull it across to Lautaro Martinez. And Mkhitaryan makes it 2-0. This is amazing. 10 gone at San Siro. It couldn't get any better, this start for Inter.
What a start! Inter are in dreamland. Milan have been stunned in the space of 3 minutes.
Calhanoglu hit the post! So close to a third here for Inter, who are threatening in this Champions League semi-final to run riot. Such a fast start to this game by Inter, who were 2-0 up after just 11 minutes. A slow start from Milan. They were much better in the second half, but the Rossoneri have it all to do in the second leg at San Siro. Full-time, Milan 0, Inter 2.
You heard commentator Adam Summerton there, and he joins us now. A brief recap of the context going into this. Rafael Leao injured, as Daniela mentioned. We found out just before kickoff. So Salamaca's starting. The big Inter team selection being that Dzeko got in ahead of Lukaku, Brozovic on the bench, Mkhitaryan started, and that was very telling. And we'll get to that fact shortly. But Adam, the start to the game, despite the ferocious atmosphere generated by the Milan fans, caught the hosts cold.
Yeah, I think it did. I think that's a really key point to make about that first 11 minutes, because you've got to praise Inter for their approach, because it wasn't necessarily an approach when you consider the history of this fixture, when you consider what was at stake, when you consider perhaps the two coaches involved. You put all that into the mix and you think, I was surprised, I think we all were in the room, probably a lot of people listening and watching as well, that Inter went for it as much as they did. They were aggressive, they were intense, and it was almost like Milan were like, hang on a minute, we weren't expecting this, and they just couldn't really handle it. And if we're honest, they scored twice, they hit the post once, they had a couple of other chances as well. They could have easily been out of sight within the first half an hour.
And also because Inter knows that Milan is happy when the ball is with the opposition, so they could have perhaps waited a little bit more and tried to get Milan drawn out or leaving the initiative, and they did exactly the opposite. They hit them quickly, and they were able to use the pace of some of the players, and especially those wide areas with the wing backs, where Di Marco in the first 20 minutes bamboozled completely Calabria, had so much space, and Inter were really, really threatening. So Inter were able to win the midfield battle as well, thanks also to having a one maneuver. And then once they were 2-0 up, they controlled the game, but they didn't stop being threatening, which obviously is going to satisfy Inzaghi. Look, for as much as Milan has attacked in the second half, Inter weren't parking the bus, didn't have to defend desperately as sometimes had to do, for example, in the second leg against Porto, or at times against Benfica in the first leg. So it is all positive, really, from an Inter point of view.
Two things I'd say about Inter when I reflect on this performance tonight, when I reflect on their season as a whole. I would say that the Inter that we're seeing right now, the Inter we saw tonight, particularly in the first half and in recent weeks, that is what they are capable of. And that is why people have been so frustrated with them in Serie A, where they've lost 11 games this season, because people look at it and they look at this squad on paper and they say, hang on a minute, this is a really talented group of players. You could argue it's the strongest squad in paper in Serie A. I would say it is, on paper.
I agree with you.
That's what I would say.
And they underachieved in Serie A. Maybe they were not able to motivate themselves against the so-called smaller teams. Maybe the physical condition wasn't there, but now it looks like Inter have repicked, and in fact this is the sixth win in a row. They also beat Juventus to qualify for the Coppa Italia final. So yes, of course the momentum is with there, but as far as Milan goes, they were also in form, they were unbeaten in nine, and they kind of slept back to the bad momentum, the bad form that they had in January when they were conceding a lot of goals out of a sudden. So that's the warning side. Also, a lot of missed passes, miscues passes. So, yeah, something to think about.
The Milan performance, particularly the first 15 minutes or so, you're spot on. It reminded me when they had that. It was almost like there was a collective collapse in confidence of the team when Pioli looked at it and thought, I've got to do something drastic here. And he went to that three-man defence. They regained their confidence. He used it as a platform to build that confidence back up again. And then we saw them produce that performance at Napoli, for example, where they, you know, they'd gone back to playing as a four, and it would all seem to work, but it was almost like they regressed a little bit in that the early stages. I have to say, in the second half, I thought they were much better again, but it was like a collective regression, really, to a side that was not protecting its back line at all. I mean, it was so open for Mkhitaryan to score that second goal. Really worrying defending, really worrying as well from the first goal, that, you know, it was a complete physical mismatch on the corner. Was it Calabria?
Yeah, Calabria marking
Dzeko. It was a complete mismatch.
Henry Mkhitaryan, by the way, has been given the UEFA player of the match, and he wasn't guaranteed to start. And I think we can all agree that we give Simone Inzaghi credit for catching Milan cold. I think opportunity presented itself in the way the Visitors played, but they went for it early on. And players and team selection, because we didn't know Dzeko was going to start. It might have been Lukaku. I think everyone was edging that it was probably Dzeko. And we didn't know for certain Mkhitaryan would start. And Daniele, they got the goals that have given into this lead. It's incredible.
That's the biggest reward for a manager, of course. But Inzaghi stuck to what he knows well. And is a testament to the fact that he has got a group of players that have been following him through a difficult season for him and for the players. And he chose to play with Mkhitaryan instead of Brozovic. We have to remind everyone that Brozovic has played so many minutes in the last few seasons for Inter. He was such a pivotal player when Antonio Conte was there. But Inzaghi, through the emergencies, found out that Çalhanoğlu can play as a deep lining midfielder very well. And Mkhitaryan, because of his composure and his experience, it is so important. And when it comes to Dzeko, in a game where you try to dominate possession and when you try to play against a back four and perhaps taking one of the defenders out of a position, no one is better than Dzeko, not only because he's cool in front of goals, he's a great technician, but also because he makes play everyone around him a little bit better.
think what we've seen with Inter as well, particularly in this competition, is that they can win games in different ways. There is a versatility about them. I was so impressed with the way that they defended in both legs against Porto and Benfica. Really, really organised, protected their edge of their own box. I know people will point to the Porto game and say, yeah, they rode their luck at the end. They did, but I felt that they'd earned that little bit of luck from the way that they defended before that. But this was a very different performance. This was a front foot performance. This was taking the game to the opposition. It was trying to score early on, and I was really impressed by that. And I have to say that while Inzaghi's had his critics this season, and look, in some ways you have to listen to that and understand that, as he will have done himself, you can't lose 11 league games in a season if you're Inter. You just can't. And he knows that. But I think they've got a really good coach there. A coach who's, you know, got a good, really good, solid body of work behind him. He's won, you know, when you look at it, what he did at Lazio as well, he's actually won quite a lot of silverware now too. And I think he'll win a lot more. And we saw, I think he gave a good account of himself tonight as well, Inzaghi, and I think he'll be really pleased. Will they see it through now in the second leg is the question. And from the other side of the coin, how can Stefano Pioli approach it now? He's been praised for his tactical nous this year and last year, and rightly so. He's got to figure this puzzle out now from a Milan perspective.
Well, let's talk a little bit about those in-game changes in the second half. What were both teams trying to do? Because Milan, certainly in the introduction of Divock Origi as well, who was a threat when he came on, looked to be a bit more attacking going into those closing stages.
And it did work. And I was surprised that Pioli decided to play with two up front after 50 minutes. But by deploying Origi on the left-hand side, for 10 minutes, Milan had good spells because Darmian suffered the physicality of the Belgian. Origi slotted two interesting balls into the box, a good run from Diaz, and that's where the goal, almost the goal, was created. Tonali hit the post, that was the biggest chance for Milan. Then Inter went into reactive mode and brought in De Vrij to stop Origi, brought in Lukaku to try and add more physicality, hold the ball up. And I think the Belgian Lukaku did also well, did not have a shot on target, but he created the spaces for his teammates. I think overall Inter have got more depth into their squad, and of course we cannot forget that they introduced Brozovic in the second half, who also had a good game.
I think the absolute key for Milan watching that tonight, and particularly when you look at the second half and how they improved, for me the central figure to that, yes, Origi made a difference when he came on, but I felt Tonali for me is the absolute key for Milan, not just tonight, not just in this tie, but in general. I think he's a wonderful player who's getting better every single year. He's having a greater level of influence on this midfield every year. I think he will do for Italy as well. And for me, if they are to get back into this in the second leg, getting him on the ball more, getting him in dangerous positions.
So that second half, when he got on the ball more, things were happening.
And that is so important for them. And that is, when I say that Stefano Pioli has things to figure out, puzzles to solve, how he gets Tonali on the ball, because he can influence from deep. But I think that, as we saw in that second half, if you can get him on the ball in the final third, he can be a real difference maker as well.
Because he gave that great pass for Messias when Messias almost scored. That was another glorious chance. Yeah, so absolutely spot on. You need to try to release him perhaps from the defensive duty. Let's see whether Bennacer is going to make it for the second leg, because without Bennacer, perhaps Tonali can play a little bit closer to the strikers.
Okay, it's a good point, because he did go off on 18 minutes in what was a really tough spell after they just hit the post as well, Inter. Rafael Leao, unavailable. He limped off for the weekend, had that late fitness test, not fit to start. How much, and I think you were talking about, obviously, his relationship with Hernandez and how key that is down the left to the whole functioning of this Milan team, but how much of a blow and how much of a factor do you think that was in the outcome of tonight's game?
It's a difficult one to answer, because would it have changed Inter's approach to the game? I'm not so sure it would have done. I think they would still have come out. I think psychologically, for me, it did play a part, but for Milan, maybe in their slow start, because I think, you know, if you're in a team, we've all played football, we all know if you're missing your best player,
Daniela's out.
Exactly.
You're saying I'm the best player.
You go into the game not quite with the same level of belief. And I think it did play a part. And I keep going back to the fact that the way that Milan have played in the Champions League that's brought them a lot of success is that ability to hit on the counter-attack. I mean, look at when they won 4-0 in Serie A at Napoli. He was a big factor in that as well. You know, he commits defenders. He draws defenders out of positions. He draws midfielders out of positions. He gets a lot of assists. He gets a lot of goals. So, look, he is Milan's overall. I know you could make a case for Tonali. He's right up there as one of their most influential players. He was the MVP in Serie A last season. So I think he probably will be fit. He's been training this week. They always said they wouldn't just have him on the bench. He'd either be there or he wouldn't.
Because you don't want him to get worse for the second leg, do you? I mean, the thinking going into this game for a lot of people was it was going to be tight and not much in it. And the first few minutes sort of completely unravelled that you'd want to have a fully fit. You couldn't risk Leao for that second leg in just 6 days' time. It's a quick turnaround.
You can make a comparison to what happened to Osimhen in the first leg of the quarterfinals. Yeah. I think he was partially fit, but Napoli didn't want to risk him, and then they played him in the second leg when he did okay, although he was not fully fit. Depends on the level of the injury of Rafael Leao, but I think his absence allowed Inter backline, who, by the way, are not the quickest, Acerbi, Bastoni and Darmian, plenty of experience there, but not a lot of legs, maybe to play 6-7 meters a little bit higher the pitch. And you know, in a tie game, those are fine margins, and it's really the difference between collecting a second ball or not and turning a possession.
Of course, what I didn't mention when I mentioned the psychological effects on Milan, the complete opposite psychological effect for Inter, and that feeds into how they play.
A little boost.
You know, it gives them a boost, and then you start to think, you know, maybe I can take a little bit more of a risk and we can play out into the midfield more. And it just all feeds into it all. And I think if they can get him fit for that second leg, it would be a massive, massive boost for Milan. And I think if you watch the first 15 minutes of this game, you're thinking, look, this tie's in danger of being over. It isn't over. We've watched this competition. We've enjoyed and revelled in this competition for many years. We know that these sort of situations can be turned around. And I think if Rafael Leao is fit for the second leg, that will give a massive lift to Milan.
Let's get some reaction on that first 15 minutes. Here is goal scorer Edin Dzeko.
Yeah, they were crazy, but crazy good for us. It doesn't happen every year, you know, that you play semi-final, and especially derby. So we kind of went aggressive on them and tried to press them high, and we were lucky to score these two early goals, and then I think we dictate the game.
Oldest players to score in the Champions League this season: Luka Modric, 37 years and 54 days against Celtic; Edin Dzeko, 37 years, 54 days against AC Milan in this semi-final. They've beaten Milan now three times this season, for the first time since the mid-90s. So looking ahead to the second leg, and we've seen Milan play with a back three, they did against Tottenham in the round of 16 to great effect. Do you see much changing dramatically between the setup of these two teams in less than a week's time?
Inzaghi never changes tactics. He's never done it in 2 years at Inter, unless he's desperate the last 10 minutes of the game. So he's going to stick exactly to the 3-5-2. When it comes to Pioli, I think if he would change to a back three, I think he will make them too reactive and not enough proactive. I think it was a good way to re-establish the balance of the team when they were in danger. No, they need to play on the front foot. And I think it's going to be fascinating, because I would expect Inter perhaps to start a little bit slowly next time they meet. And Milan, we know they're dangerous on the counter-attack, so there are all the elements for another fascinating encounter. And obviously, comes the last 30 minutes of the game, if the tie is still on the balance, then Milan are going to throw the kitchen sink. We might see the Catelera, we might see Origi, everything that Pioli has got.
I think from a coach's perspective, what you want, a lot of what you would need and want, is options. And that's where I feel a little sorry for Pioli at the moment, because, you know, for whatever reason, we can talk about recruitment and all of those different things, he just doesn't have the strength and depth that Inzaghi has with Inter. So he's limited in what he can do in terms of changing things for the second leg, particularly if Rafael Leao doesn't make it again.
Yeah.
I thought Origi offered something different when he came on, but would you trust him from the start? He's not really shown a great degree of trust in him so far this season. But having said that, they're going to need that little bit of X factor. And he's the most Rafael Leao-like player that they've got in terms of a like for like. I mean, it's no insult to say he's not at the level of Rafael Leao, but he can, to a degree, do that job on the left-hand side. So he could be an option to start. A great shame that De Ketelaere hasn't shown what we all know he's capable of for whatever reason this season. But you just never know. I mean, you could throw somebody like that in there in a game like that and it could just all click for them.
Spot
on the night.
Them.
Yeah, you just never know. But some difficult calls. But so much of this for me hinges on whether Rafael Leao is fit for that session.
Do you know what you just said when you were talking about Origi there? I did think to the Barcelona comeback for Liverpool where he scored twice in that second leg into the team. Only because of injuries in that Liverpool
scores
attack.
In big games. How many times did he do that for Liverpool?
He did it in the final, of course, weeks later. OK, boys, more on this shortly. Still to come, we're going to look ahead to the other second leg from this year's UEFA Champions League semi-finals.
Take UEFA Champions League Match Day Live with you, wherever you go. With audio commentary, real-time stats and much, much more, get the complete experience and download the official Champions League app today.
So this season's semi-finals are at the halfway stage and we are back on Tuesday the 16th and Wednesday the 17th to find out who will reach the final in Istanbul. We've had incredible drama in the second legs of the last four over the past decade, and you will not want to miss next week's action. Jack Winstanley reports.
Nothing is guaranteed when it comes to the closing stages of a semi-final.
Benzema at the far post puts it across, and they've got that back! Real Madrid have a lifeline, it's Rodrigo! Carvajal, can he get the cross in? Yes, he can! They've scored! Rodrigo's done it again! Unbelievable! Two goals in the space of, what, 90 seconds?
Real Madrid's two late goals in normal time and one in extra time last season against Manchester City were extraordinary. But the last four often delivers compelling drama. Just ask Liverpool and Tottenham fans.
It's touchdown for Dele Alli. Lucas Moura! Oh, my goodness me! This is beyond astonishing. It is beyond words.
It's taken quickly. Origi. Oh, he scored. He scored. Divock Origi for Liverpool. They are leading with 12 minutes to go. Unbelievable.
Those two remarkable comebacks in 2019 are the stuff of Champions League legend. And it's often goals galore when a place in the final is at stake. Liverpool served up another classic 5 years ago when they went to Rome.
And in the 93rd minute, a penalty for Roma. Nainggolan for 4-2, thumps it in. Is there time to even restart the match? Roma lead 4-2 now, on one goal away from forcing extra time.
That tie finished 7-6 on aggregate to Liverpool. What drama awaits next week? Madrid will be in action as they chase a 15th European title. And it wasn't just last season that they were involved in an epic semi-final second leg.
It's Ronaldo! It's four! It is Bayern München 0, Real Madrid 4.
Benzema at the back post, keeps it in, pulls it back. Chance for Sergio Ramos! It's 2-0! It's a wonderful finish from the defender and it is very much game on with 2 minutes and stoppage time remaining. Real Madrid 2, Borussia Dortmund 0 on the night. Madrid need one more goal now to win the tie.
So it's rarely dull when the semi-finals come to a close. Matchday Live is on air from 8 p.m. CEST next Tuesday and Wednesday. Join us on UEFA.com, the official Champions League app, and across North America on Sirius XM FC.
Yeah, we can't wait for it, and we don't have to wait that long, just 6 days until we're back at San Siro, and then another week from today for the second leg of that brilliant Manchester City-Real Madrid tie. 1-1 at the Bernabeu on Tuesday. Daniel Adam, let's get into this one. Militao will return from suspension. Big question mark is whether he comes in for Antonio Rudiger, because so many of the papers in Spain have been focused today about what Rudiger did to at times physically frustrate Haaland and deny him many attempts on goal.
Yeah, had a very good game, Rudiger, and so had most of the Madrid back line. I'm not sure Militao comes back into the team, but he's definitely a great option to have. I think Madrid goes into the second leg with a lot of confidence, but perhaps even with less pressure than in the first leg. Somehow the Bernabeu effect touched Manchester City as well, although they had a lot of chances. But Madrid were able to control the game, impose different rhythm, accelerate when they wanted it. The last 15 minutes of the game, they were pretty much all Real Madrid. And they know they're going to be good on the counter-attack, as they were last season when they scored 4 at the Etihad. Now, Manchester City feel unstoppable at home, but they have a lot of pressure on them. They have the pressure domestically, which Madrid, due to their poor domestic season, don't have. And obviously now they got the pressure that they have got a match ball. Look, you can read it in many different ways. If Madrid makes it, we'll say, well, it's a typical Madrid, Carlo Ancelotti job, the experience and European royalty. If Manchester City makes it, you will say, well, of course they make it. They go Haaland this season. Or if they don't make it, you'll say, well, they crumble as
Stop
always.
Stop preempting all my
so
analysis.
You can, you can analyze it in many, many, many different ways. But it's gonna be great, and I think yesterday we enjoyed it.
He can't possibly be wrong with all that.
I'm trying to.
They're sitting on the fence, and then they're building a whole house. Look, Adam. In terms of, I've seen that there's a bit of a consensus that maybe, you know, it's 1-1. Luka Modric was saying 50-50 at shot on the show last night. But this counter-attacking Real Madrid team, do you think it will suit them? Man City on the ball at home, Vinicius Junior bombing down the left-hand side as he did in the semi-final last season.
I look at this Manchester City size right now and the way that they are playing, and I think that they're capable of blowing anybody away, and I include Real Madrid in that. And a heavy Manchester City win in the second leg, I can honestly say, would not surprise me. But that said, to kind of move into the sort of
Daniel
what you can't account for, we've been doing this show a very long time. The amount of times that we've all said that there is no other football competition in the world for me where history counts for as much. And that's what Real Madrid will always have on their side. Now, there will come a time where it will be one game too many for this. But the older players in that group, you know, the likes of Kroos and Modric and Benzema, there will come a time where there will be an era sort of ending game for them. It will happen because time catches up with everybody. The other factor to mention as well is Vinicius Junior. There isn't, for me, I mean, people were looking, you know, covering two Italian sides tonight. We've seen how well Kvicha Kvaratskhelia has played this season. But for me, everything considered, there isn't a better wide player in world football right now than him. His goal last night was outstanding, and he provides genuine X factor. But that's, you know, you look across the pitch and there's so much of that in both sides. And I can understand why you've presented so many different scenarios, because you could quite easily make a case for all of those tonight. They're all very plausible, and that's what makes it such a good tie.
Okay, let's switch back to tonight's game, Milan 0 Inter 2, and get some reaction from the first Englishman to play a Champions League semi-final for a non-English side in 20 years, the Rossoneri's Fikayo Tomori.
To concede a goal from the corner is an arrow you want to start a game, and then to concede straight after obviously made the game even more difficult. And I think, yeah, we just didn't start the game how we wanted to. And from there, it just became, you know, very difficult. You know, we know they're already a good team. Even when the game started, we knew it was going to be difficult. And then to be 2-0 down, it makes it a lot more difficult. But obviously, we're disappointed, but it's only the first game. And we have to believe that we can go through in the second leg. And we have to just kind of go out there with no anxiety or no worries, just to kind of go and play our game. And and believe that we can go through.
For Caio Tomori there. OK, Daniela, Adam, you can pick a goal if you like, but we want your outstanding moment of the night.
I need to say Edin Dzeko goal, because the technique and the coordination in a tight space, and with Calabria pulling his shirt and being able to control and place the ball in such a way, is extraordinary in a game that just started after 6 minutes and put it in the path of an Inter win.
I think, rather than be obvious, I suppose I could pick one of the goals, but I think a moment in the game that has kept really kept the tie alive was the save by Maignan from Dzeko.
Oh, brilliant, yeah. And that run from Bastoni.
That goes in, it's 3-0, yeah. And we may be having a very different conversation. So I think that was a really important moment.
Adam, Daniela, Serie A Dream Team, thank you very much for your company. We will be back on Tuesday the 16th of May. You can hear action on Matchday Live, full commentary of Inter versus AC Milan from 8 p.m. CEST, to find out which side will reach this season's final in Istanbul. And don't forget to download this very podcast shortly after every single match night via your favourite provider. But for me, Rob Daly, and the rest of the Matchday Live team, it's goodbye.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.